Today's readings are selections from the book of Exodus, from Exodus chapter 2, verses 11 through 14. One day, after Moses had grown up, he went out to his people and saw their forced labor. He saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew, one of his kinsfolk. He looked this way and that, and seeing no one, he killed the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. When he went out the next day, he saw two Hebrews fighting, and he said to the one who was in the wrong, "Why do you strike your fellow Hebrew?" He was answered, "Who made you a ruler and judge over us? Do you mean to kill me as you killed the Egyptian?" Then Moses was afraid and thought, "Surely the thing is known." On to chapter 4, verses 10 to 12. But Moses said to the Lord, "Oh, my Lord, I have never been eloquent, neither in the past nor even now that you have spoken to your servant. But I'm slow of speech and slow of tongue." Then the Lord said to him, "Who gives speech to the mortals? Who makes them mute or deaf, seeing or blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now you go, and I will be with your mouth and teach you what you are to speak." And from chapter 33, verses 7 through 11. Now, Moses used to take a tent and pitch it outside the camp, far off from the camp. He called it the tent of meeting. And everyone who sought the Lord would go out to the tent of meeting, which was outside the camp. Whenever Moses went out to the tent, all the people would rise and stand, each of them at the entrance of their tents, and watch Moses until he had gone into the tent. When Moses entered the tent, the pillar of cloud would descend and stand at the entrance of the tent, and the Lord would speak with Moses. When all of the people saw the pillar of cloud standing at the entrance of the tent, all the people would rise and bow down, all of them, at the entrance of their tent. Thus, the Lord used to speak to Moses face to face, as one speaks to a friend. Then he would return to the camp. But his young assistant, Joshua, son of Nun, would not leave the tent. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Moses' story is one full of restoration and the continuation of life after he committed to living and loving God. His story begins with his own mother's restoration of relationship with him, thanks to Pharaoh's daughter and his quick-thinking sister. Never count those sisters out, right? Yeah, in his early days of living on his own, he makes a horrible choice, as Karen read to us, to take another's life. And yet, as you also heard, God still called him to serve. And not only to serve, but to lead. There is a lot of stories of Moses in our Bible. It's multiple chapters of his life. And as one of God's great leaders, we too can learn from him and from his encounters with God. Let us pray. Oh, gracious God, we can think of lots of horrible things that we have done. And yet you have called us to be here today, to listen for you and to look for you, and to hear your love in this story and others. Help us, gracious God, to accept your call. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be pleasing to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer, we pray. Amen. So some might have learned of their own birth story and used it to hide from living fully. Not Moses, this baby that was left in a basket, that story that we all have in our head, right, of the mom tucking that basket into the reeds and just praying that her son wouldn't be one who had to die. That story continues to be not a lesson in abandonment, but in a story of restoration. during a time when Pharaoh, the ruler of Egypt, had given orders that no more male Hebrew children should be allowed to live because he felt threatened by the birth rate of the slaves and the potential that they had to revolt against him and his authority, during that time, Moses was placed in a basket among the reeds and found and adopted by an Egyptian princess, Pharaoh's own daughter. Moses was not just restored to life. Some would say he got the best of both worlds. His birth mother became his wet nurse, and his adopted mother was a princess. So he was raised in the royal court and learned the wisdom of the Egyptians after he first had learned from his mother the faith of his fathers, his Hebrew faith. Perhaps we can call that Moses' restoration part one, right? But there's a lot of parts. It wasn't just the work of his sister or his mother or his princess mom that kept him in right relationship. That was his foundation, yes, but it was his commitment, his own commitment to be obedient to God, always, that brought about the next restorative moment. Moses was a stickler for safety, it sounds like, one who believed in fairness and equity. And he saw cruel treatment, and he could not let it stand. And so he killed an Egyptian and buried him in the sand. He thought that no one saw him. But indeed, he had been seen, or at least his temper had well been known by those around him, known enough that now he feared for his own life, and he fled from Egypt, the place that he knew. But God didn't leave him. Mm-mm. God didn't leave him as a man on the run in the Midian, in the desert place. God went with him. Even there, God blessed him, gave him a wife and a family, a shepherd job, and time alone in the wilderness with the sheep. Ours is back there if you're looking for him. Yeah. Moses was given a long time to care for sheep. Maybe that time taught him patience. Maybe it taught him survival skills. Maybe it taught him forgiveness. It gave him a lot of opportunities, though, to walk away from God. And yet he didn't. Wandered as he may be, he didn't leave God, and God didn't leave him. Instead, God called him into a deeper role. Being an older man now, in what some might call past their prime, he was also well-seasoned, a bit more patient, and he recognized not only his own skills but his own limitations. And when God called him, he said yes. Not right away, made up a little excuse, God fixed that, right? But he said yes. And this time in a big, bold way, he returned to Egypt to face Pharaoh, and he did exactly what Pharaoh had feared years ago. He led a revolt. He stirred up the Hebrew people, and he demanded to Pharaoh, "Let my people go." He said the words that God called him to say, "Let my people go." He wanted the Hebrew people to be free to worship God and to work and to live in full relationship with their God, our God. After 10 plagues of Egypt, God's people walked away. They were pursued as they walked away, but the parting of the Red Sea and their safe journey through it and the waters that closed after them, that gave them a safe place to start again. They got to start again, or restart, as we might say during this time of Lent, right? They got to find a place to learn about God. And then we hear about this tent, right? So there's a whole village of tents where everyone sleeps. Everything was a tent, right? And yet an extra tent was put at the edge. And that's where Moses went to find God, to be with God, where God showed up and talked to Moses. A designated place for the special encounter, a place to go and listen without distraction. Probably a delightful place, but also one full of responsibility. We could talk about Moses for like weeks. There is so much of his story that has been recorded in our Bible. But the themes that we hear not only in these parts of his story, but in the rest of it, remain the same. Obedience, devotion, blessing. And at the same time, we hear of humbleness, mistakes, missteps, and God. In every part of Moses' story, God is there. I think that Moses' story is one of restoration. Like those fixer-upper shows on that channel, right? Yeah, there's always something worth saving. I don't always understand that. Sometimes I think they should just knock that house down, right? Especially when they get to the termites. And oh, did you see the Hawaii one? The whole thing? Oh, it's disgusting, right? But they say, oh, there's something in here worth saving. There's some part of this old that fits in good with what will be made new. Restoration. Something of the old is part of the story of the new. God could have chosen someone else at any point besides Moses. God could have given up on Moses. Sometimes it felt like Moses gave up on God, right? But God stuck with him. Perhaps it was that good foundation of faith that was made within him, or the good bones that he carried. Perhaps it was the history that he had with the land. I really don't like the what-if game. I don't play that very well, the what-ifs and what about this and it could have been that. Instead, I like to look and see what it's really about for me. And what I hear in Moses' story is restoration. Seeing what can be made of the old or the discarded or the almost used up. I love to see that God doesn't give up on us, even if we sometimes give up on God. And that sometimes we find that while we are doing the saving or the doing or the being, while we are being busy in God's love and sharing God's love with others, that we are actually the ones being restored. That's also one of the blessings in forgiveness, the restoration of ourselves. Not just the person who receives the forgiveness from us. Dear friends, during this time of Lent, we are to take time to remember, what have we done that has hurt others? Or others that have hurt us? And then we are invited to repent with a full heart. Tillich, a famous theologian, said, not a pretend forgiveness, like, oops, I'm sorry, and walk away, but like a really full heart. And then we too can be reconciled or made to move forward as we release ourselves and others from the hurt or the pain, so that we may be restored to the fullness for which we were made and be able to live in right relationship with God and God's people. Our story is probably not as dramatic as Moses's. I hope yours doesn't feel that dramatic or that desperate. Ours probably isn't recorded as well as his either. But ours is just as important to God as Moses' story is. And restoration wasn't just for him, but he even got to help restore God's people when they were disobedient, when they formed the golden calf. God restored the whole lot of them with Moses' help. As you prepare for Easter, I ask you to think about what you need to remember, repent of, what you need to do, who you need to reconcile with, or what you need to release yourself from, so that you may be restored into right relationship with God. We're almost there. Almost. Right? And so may you find time to not only prepare your hearts and your homes, but to be ready for the blessings that come with Easter. With God's help, may it be so. Amen.